Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Beyond Diet Podcast, your ultimate guide to health and fitness. Hi, my name is Dan Rodriguez, and in this episode, I interview Dr. Ann Kultz. Dr. Ann Kultz gives you the cutting edge info on health and fitness. It's an eye-opening interview, and I know you're going to love it. So check that out. But before we get started, I just want to let everyone know to please put in a rating and review in iTunes, because that helps with the ranking of the show. So when you get a chance, please do that. And also check out the store. Check out the Beyond Diet store and help support the show. There's also an app, Low Fat Finder. Go look at it in the iTunes store or in your iOS device and get it. It's only 99 cents. Low Fat Finder. Support the show. So anyways, here we go. Hope you enjoy it and talk to you soon. Okay, so I am here with Dr. Ann Kultz, better known as Dr. Ann. How are you, Dr. Ann?
I am just fantastic. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm good. Really excited because I want to share with the listeners, you are a medical doctor that specializes in health and nutrition, anti-aging. And what I like about you is that you like recommending people to help themselves by learning how to eat properly and how to exercise so that the body can do its job.
That's so exactly right.
Yeah. So, and the reason I got you on the show, because I discovered you online and I just loved the stuff that you talked about. I mean, it's just incredible.
Well, thank you. I feel very blessed. I love what I do. I always say I have the best job in the world. And what is my job? All I do as a physician is teach people how to live the healthiest life. I mean, that literally is my job description. And that's what I do every day. And it's an absolute blast. And for so many reasons, one of the biggest things is it empowers people. And when you empower people, it's just amazing to watch the transformation in how it ripples, the ripple effect in other aspects of their lives. So it's really great.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I enjoy about doing this podcast, Beyond Diet Podcast, is that, you know, there's so much information out there. You know, there's just so much. And some of it is bad. Some of it is good. And a lot of it's not even based on science. You know what I mean? So what I like to, what I like doing in this podcast is just giving people the truth on how they can change their bodies, how they can change their lives. You wrote a book called, actually wrote several books, but you wrote a specific book called The 10 Steps Diet. And in that book, you kind of walk through, it's kind of like, I think of it like a diet book, a health book disguised as a diet book.
Well, you figured it out, because that's really, so let me tell you a little bit about that. First of all, let me commend you for helping, bring scientific validity to this whole world of wellness and health. And there is so much misinformation out there. And one of the things about me, I will tell you, is I'm absolutely, totally evidence-based. I mean, I am, you know, if you could see me and what you're kind of hearing me now, but, you know, I don't look like it, but I'm deep down, I'm nothing more than a total science junkie, a total science nerd. There's no question about it. And I love, and I know how confused people are, because again, I'm dealing with the same people day in and day out. And I love taking the hard, fast, real, credible science and distilling it down into, you know, in such a way that people, the regular people, can just get it and understand it. And people often say that I have, my greatest talent is my ability to simplify the science. People tell me that. I mean, I'm not saying either, but that's what people say about me. Anyway, so that first book, you nailed it. And I knew with that book, what I really wanted to do was teach people the healthiest way to eat. And it just so happens that the reality is that we now know the scientific strategies that people need to employ to have lifelong success with body weight are literally across the board the exact same strategies that people need to employ to be as healthy as possible. And so that's why I ultimately was comfortable with a book title that was titled like it was, meaning when you first look at the book, you think, oh, that must be some sort of diet book. Mm-hmm. And it is, but you have to realize diet has two meanings. It, you know, it's a short-term pattern of eating to, you know, obtain a reduction in weight, or diet, as in its original Greek Latin root, was a way of life, a way of life. So I think people, you know, people think the book is, oh, you know, a diet book, but really what it, and it is, it's what you want to do if you want to lose weight and keep it off. But I'm referring to diet as in a long-term pattern of behavior. And so every single strategy or step in the book is basically 10 steps, 10 things that you need to do to have lifelong success. So, by the way, those 10 things, it could be, you know, 10 steps for lifelong vitality and wellness, you know, 10 steps for not getting heart disease, 10 steps for not getting cancer. I mean, you could, there's so many different titles that book could have, because the reality is what, as I said, what people need to be doing to have success with body weight dovetails almost across the board with what people need to be doing to not get cancer, not get heart disease, not get Alzheimer's, to have energy, to have pretty skin, blah, 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 on and on and on. So
what's the direct correlation, you know, with diet and exercise? I mean, what role does it play on things like cancer, heart disease? What specific data have
you
researched?
Just tell you, it's hard to, for people to even fathom this, but here are the facts. Cancer, mm-hmm. we think, based on the latest data, 70% of the totalities of all cancers, so if you took all the cancers that people are getting in the world and combine them, 70% of those, based on the latest data, are preventable through diet, lifestyle, and screening. So getting colonoscopies, you know, getting your pap smears. That's incredible to think about. People don't know that.
70%.
Yeah, there's a huge number of cancers that are just solely related to being obese. People are getting them just because they're obese, right? What about heart disease?
Right.
Heart disease is the number one killer. One of the most preventable of all of our chronic diseases. The only one that might beat that one out is type 2 diabetes. So what do we know about diet and lifestyle and heart disease? Upwards of 92%, I would be comfortable saying, I think personally 100% of all heart disease is preventable, but based on, let me just go by the data. So 92% of all cardiovascular disease could be prevented through diet and lifestyle. 92%. What about type 2 diabetes? Again, same kind of thing. I think it's 100%, but if we go by the data, 93% of type 2 diabetes is preventable through diet and lifestyle. It's just remarkable, and I'll just say this. I know of no other strategy available in all of modern-day health and biomedical science that can come close to providing the depth and breadth of dazzling health benefits that nutritional excellence, eating a healthy diet, and getting optimal amounts of physical activity, i.e. exercise, can provide. And there's nothing else that can touch it. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And we also know, and this is another thing that people aren't aware of, that there can even be disease reversal. I mean, I have had my own personal clients. I don't call them patients because now I do. I practice regular medicine for a long time, mm-hmm. but now I just do wellness. So I call the people that I work with clients and not patients. You know, patients, you know, I don't like that word in as far as the context of what I do. I have this one particular woman who was on insulin for a decade. Totally reversed her type 2 diabetes, is off every medicine she ever was on simply by changing her diet.
Diet. I mean, that's such a broad term, and mm-hmm. healthy diet is also mm-hmm. a very generic term where people think, okay, I've got a healthy diet. You know, mm-hmm. they think they're eating healthy, but in actuality, that they're not. Can you discuss some of the things that you need to eat on a regular basis to be extraordinarily healthy?
Right. So I'm thinking right now, as you asked me that, my latest book is called Eat Right for Life. It's where I take the healthy eating message and distill it down to the five major themes, which are: you learn to do your carbs right, eat your fruits and vegetables, select the right proteins, do your fat right, and drink the right beverages. So let's just think of it in that context. So doing your carbs right is very straightforward, and it's a huge, huge, hugely important nutritional strategy. In fact, I would position for the average American, learning how to do their carbs right is the king of all dietary strategies. And this is what you do. You restrict or avoid the great white hazards, and that's what I refer to, that's the term I use for those high glycemic refined white carbs. So white flour products, white rice, white potatoes, sugar and sweets. And instead of doing those, you replace them with the right, R-I-G-H-T, the right carbs, which are 100% whole grains, beans, vegetables and fruit. It's straightforward. That is it. I mean, how easy is that? And that has emerged is likely the biggest thing that people can do. And the reason this carb thing is so important is two major reasons. First of all, it is where Americans are most off track. It's where Americans are most off track. And number two, the carbs you choose, meaning how you do your carbs, is what determines your metabolic health. And what we now know is for the rest of the foods, it's your metabolic health that determines if they're going to be bad for you or good for you. Does that make sense? And also your metabolic health, of course, plays so heavily into body weight, which is so important as sort of an all-encompassing, you know, goal, having a healthy body weight to remain free of all these diseases that are so tied to body weight. And especially the healthy metabolism is also fundamentally important to cardiovascular health. So that's really, really huge. So, and then, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No. I was just going to ask you, I mean, as far as like the metabolism health, what do you mean by that? Do you mean by
metabolic having health? It's really important. And basically what we're saying is that your insulin, the action of the hormone insulin, which is your body's, you know, sort of, you know, key, you know, metabolism guiding sort of hormone. We say metabolic health, we're talking about having insulin that works very, very well. We call that insulin sensitivity, which is the opposite of insulin resistance. And sort of, I always tell people, you know, think of insulin as the mother of all hormones. I mean, sort of the key to life. At the cellular level, it's the key to life. And if your insulin works well, that's how you have good metabolic health. If you have good metabolic health, you're going to burn calories effectively. You're going to be able to have energy when you want to have energy because your cells can get their fuel. Your cells can burn their fuel. And then that plays so heavily into the health of your heart and arteries, meaning if you don't have metabolic health, meaning that you have insulin resistance, what we see with that is several things. Your fat cells turn into fat magnets, meaning it's very easy to gain weight. It's very difficult to lose weight. You have all sorts of cardiovascular risk, metabolic adverse things. Your triglycerides go up. Your cholesterol goes up. Your blood pressure can go up. Your good cholesterol can drop down. You tend to have more inflammation in your body, more oxidation in your body. So that's why this carb thing has gotten so huge.
But, I mean, you're talking about eating carbs, but, there's such a love and hate for carbs in this country. I mean, we were, you know, for a little bit avoiding carbs altogether. All carbs are bad. And now, you know, there's a confusion
still,
there.
Yeah,
there's
so
a confusion.
So I always say, are you carb confused? Are you carb confused? Well, your lucky day. Dr. Ann is here to set you straight. It is very straightforward.
Do we need carbs?
There's one category of carbs. Do we need carbs? Let me just tell you this. You could easily argue that carbs are the most important macronutrient. There's three macronutrients, carbs, protein, fat. You could easily argue that carbs are the most important macronutrient for the human body. Why? Because your brain and your muscles prefer and really don't work unless they get glucose. And what foods provide glucose? Carbs. And so if your brain and your muscles don't work, I don't think you're going anywhere, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's all a matter of doing your carbs right. One category of bad carbs, which are those great white hazards, get them out of your life. And four categories of great carbs, 100% whole grains, not anything less, 100% whole grains, right? Beans, awesome foods. Ask me about beans. Fruits and vegetables. And it's as simple as that. And that, I mean, that's what I live by. It's so easy. And if people could do that, it would be transformative for their health. Transformative. Because not only do the great white hazards promote disease, meaning obesity, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, cancer, macular degeneration. The good carbs do the opposite. So when you replace the great white hazards with the good carbs, meaning whole grains, beans, vegetables, and fruits, it's not like going from bad to neutral. You're going from bad to great. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So you get this sort of double bonus. So the good carbs are disease protective. They play a huge role in helping people with having a healthy body weight. You know, we see people that eat the most whole grains are leaner. People that eat the most fruits and vegetables are leaner. People that eat the most beans are leaner. So you don't want to take carbs out of your life by all means. That would be idiotic. Why would you want to take foods out of your life that have been proven to help you be leaner and proven to guard your health? So it's just a matter of flipping, get the wrong ones out, and pulling the right ones in.
So how
would fats is very similar to that. So
you said we'll talk about fats in just a minute. How soon, just by simply, you know, changing the type of carbs from bad carbs to good carbs, how quickly can someone expect to see a change?
Yeah, fast. In fact, we could measure with sophisticated, you know, scientific equipment. We could measure benefits immediately. But for a person with their mode of measurement, which would be, I guess, how they feel, their weight, and perhaps their insulin resistant or diabetic, their blood sugar, you know, we see changes very quickly. I mean, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, people can lose weight in 3 days. And, you know, losing weight, oh, my goodness, that's one of the biggest ways to improve your metabolism is getting that weight off. So, yeah, no, changes happen. It's kind of like changes with exercise. I mean, very, very rapidly.
So,
and then vice versa. We can see bad things happen really quick when you do the wrong things.
Okay. I mean, I get that. I mean, I think I'm getting what you're saying. And basically is, in order for you to be healthy and live a long life, you basically need to keep your blood sugar in balance. If you keep your blood sugar balanced, I guess all the hormones would stay where they're supposed to be, I guess.
Right. And another way of saying it a little bit more scientifically accurately is that maintaining metabolic health is, you know, should transcend, I mean, all of your goals if you want to, you know, be healthy and not get diseases. And the way you do that is to keep your insulin working like a smooth spinning top. You want to maintain insulin sensitivity. In other words, you do not want to get insulin resistance. And this is one of my most favorite things to talk about because I'm so freaked out at the current rates of insulin resistance in America. So what are they? In fact, you know, I did my Do Your Carbs Right webinar today, and I always do a little sidebar where I explain to people this whole story on insulin resistance. I say, okay, and it comes up with the sound effect, bum, 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 you know, like sort of a warning thing. And I say to them, we have to have a sidebar on this because insulin resistance is America's leading killer. If you really look at why people are dying in America, this is what's killing them. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, well, guess what? 60% of all heart attacks, many strokes, almost every case of type 2 diabetes, most all obesity, some, you know, cancer, some cancers, some cancer deaths are related to insulin resistance. And it is epidemic. 50% of the adults in America have some degree of insulin resistance. And then the other part that gets me so excited is it's totally preventable. I have to scream.
Right.
I'm not supposed to be screaming so much. I have vocal cord pause because I screamed too much. It's totally preventable. Totally preventable through things that people can do. I mean, you don't even need me. I mean, they need to learn what to do, but totally preventable through diet and lifestyle. Completely. And the other thing great about it is if you have it, you can get out of it. It's highly reversible. Highly reversible. And so this is a really, really big, important thing for people to grasp. And then the next thing people say is, well, you know, why do so many people have insulin resistance? Well, the leading driver of it is carrying too much fat in your body. And now we know why having too much fat makes your insulin stop working. But that's the biggest driver. Then next would be physical inactivity, then poor diet. And genetics can play a role too. But even if you have the gene that predisposes to, or genes that predispose to insulin resistance, you can shut those genes right up by behaving yourself in terms of diet and exercise. So the strategies that you want to bring into your life to keep your insulin working like a smooth spinning top are pretty much the ones I covered in that book. In fact, I said earlier, the title of that book, instead of being Dr. Ann's 10-Step Diet, could be, you know, how to reverse insulin resistance, or the 10 steps to keep my insulin working well. So you've got to do your carbs right. No great white hazards. Do the beans. Do the whole grains. Do your fruits and vegetables. You do need to do your fat right. You need to get excess weight off if you have it. You have to move. You have to move. Your insulin cannot work unless the human body has a certain threshold amount of physical activity each and every day. We now know this. So, you know, I'm such a straight shooter. I'm always telling people, I just tell them the truth. I said, you know, the choice is yours, but I'm just going to tell you, your insulin will not work. It will not work unless you move your body at least 30 minutes in some moderate to more physical activity each and every day. And that's just the bottom line.
Let's talk about exercise for a minute, because I do want to jump mm-hmm. in and talk about fat. But I want to talk about exercise. You said do moderate, you know, movements, mm-hmm. 30 minutes a day, every day. What are some examples? Does it matter? Does it matter what you do?
So here's the prescription. Based on the latest science, and we had a wonderful review of the latest of the data recently. It was fantastic. Because we hadn't looked at the data for as far as in a review for probably a decade. So they finally looked at all this new data, because the study's literally coming out. Everyone knows. I mean, hundreds of studies weekly related to this, you know, in these areas, or monthly at least. So this is what we now know. The human body requires, meaning the human body has to accumulate at least 30 minutes of moderate or more aerobic activity 5 or more days a week to be able to maintain its health. So what is the definition of moderate aerobic activity? It's very straightforward. It's enough movement to get your heart rate up, but not enough to cause any discomfort. So guess what? No one has an excuse, because we are not telling people that they have to subject themselves to any discomfort, but we are telling them you've got to move around enough that your heart rate pops up, okay? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be done all at once. If you can't do 30 minutes at once, fine. You do 10 and 10 and 10. But over 24 hours, you better move at least that much, or you're going to be guaranteed. It's a guarantee. This is not a possibility. You are guaranteed to lose your health. Now, for optimal health, see, the 30 minutes is just the minimal amount to not get sick.
Got it.
For optimal health, or to exploit physical activity for the mind-blowing benefits it can give you, which no one listening can even fathom them. Trust me, there's no way you can fathom what physical activity could do for you. It's impossible to even fathom it, okay? But what you need to do to be able to appreciate all of those things is ideally 5 hours of moderate aerobic activity a week. So it would be like an hour of brisk walking 5 days a week, or if you're like me and you love vigorous physical activity, I love working out hard because I'm addicted to endorphins. So if you like vigorous like me, an alternative to the 5 hours of moderate would be 2.5 hours of vigorous, and we're saying vigorous aerobic activity. That would be like jogging, spinning, Stairmaster, some of the aerobic machines. And in addition to that, along with 2 days a week, some resistance or strength training work. And that's important. That can be yoga, bands, Pilates, weight machines, free weights. There's all kinds of different ways to do that. And that becomes especially important once you hit 40. And the older you are, the more important it is to do some aspect of strength training. And in that regard, you know, because I'm such a big science junkie, and I read, a month, I'm probably reading 60 or 70 studies a month. I just read an important one yesterday. We are now getting the data that is telling us that the ideal regimen, physical activity-wise, for weight control, diabetes prevention, and diabetes improvement, if you already are diabetic, and cardiovascular prevention or cardiovascular health, is the combination of the aerobic most days of the week with the strength and resistance work a couple days a week. So that's important for people to know. That is the ideal thing to do. So if you're just doing aerobic, I'm happy. I'm so happy you're doing the aerobic, but you need to add some strength work to that. And the great thing about strength work is the return on your time investment to do it. Come on, I'm talking 10 minutes twice a week. Like for me, I spin, I swim, I run, and I do yoga. Like today, I did my spinning. And so after my 15-minute spinning class, I spend 8 minutes. That's all it takes me, 8 minutes to do my core and my upper body with weight training, because the spinning has done my legs.
Right.
So 8 minutes. So that's all it took me, 8 minutes. It's just a minute of muscle like twice a week. And that's just a flipping no-brainer to incorporate some strength training in there too. So.
Okay. Well, let's talk about fats, because that's another one. I would say after carbs, that's the next one that's mm-hmm. that gets confused, that people don't really understand. Let's
sure.
talk. What I mean, are fats? Fats make you fat. That's what we think. Yeah.
No, that's not true. Okay, so let's set people straight. And this is another. This has been one of the biggest revelations, nutritionally, of the last 15 years, is understanding that not all fats are created equal. That meaning some are great for you, demonstrably positively good for you, meaning you're going to be healthier tomorrow than you are today because you took in those fats. And then on the other side of the coin, some fats are definitely bad for you. The other, and we'll get to some of the specifics in a minute, the other important thing for people to grasp is that if you're stuck in the low-fat dogma that was so heavily perpetuated and promoted in the 80s and 90s, and tragically is still occasionally promoted by certain groups out there, then I say wake up and taste the 21st century, because the nail is in the coffin that low-fat diets have absolutely no place in health. First of all, they taste like crap because fat is what makes our food taste good. So why would anyone adhere to something that is not necessarily good for them that doesn't taste good? That's really stupid, right? Because I'm a huge foodie. I love eating for enjoyment, eating for pleasure. And you can, and be healthy too. I mean, I'm a living, breathing example of that. You can ask for just after dinner. Okay, so that's important for people to know, meaning there's no evidence that adhering to a low-fat diet has any benefits for weight control, cardiovascular health, cancer protection, diabetes protection, nothing. In fact, I recently read, so we're still battling this situation, right? You know, in the nutrition world, in the scientific nutrition world, and the public health world, we're still sort of battling, trying to change people's mindsets that, you know, good fats are good and bad fats are bad. Have your fat, but make sure it's the good fat. And there was recently a sort of a consensus. It was like a panel at a big conference of very esteemed scientific nutrition experts, and they talking about this, have a panel discussion about this, you know, whole situation with, you know, people still, you know, thinking that low-fat diets are good. And they said, you know what, based on the latest data, if someone had to choose between doing a low-fat diet and a high-fat diet, the lesser of the two evils would be a high-fat diet. Okay? Because the problem is, here's the problem with low-fat diets. It's twofold. When people significantly decrease their fats, they automatically increase what, Dan? What do you think? Their carbs. And people in America, if they increase their carbs, we are surrounded by the wrong ones.
Uh-huh.
And the ways that the wrong carbs can adversely impact your health is way more than the wrong fats. I can assure you of that. The other problem with significantly lowering your fats, i.e. adhering to a low-fat regimen, is you throw the baby out with the bathwater. It means that you're not taking in optimal amounts of these make-me-healthier fats. So what is the way you should be doing your fats? It's very straightforward, and it's similar to the situation with carbs. There are two categories of bad fats and two categories of great fats. The bad fats are trans fats and saturated fats. Everyone knows that trans fats are unhealthy for them. If they don't, they must be living in under a rock on Mars. So trans fats are literally poisonous, toxic molecules. Science knows no safe limits for them, and you want them out of your life totally, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, saturated fats are not toxic, thankfully. They're not toxic because it's impossible to totally obliterate them from your diet. they can absolutely be taken in small to modest amounts without any risk, especially if you have good metabolic health. That's an important thing we're recently realizing, okay? So it's not that you have to take saturated fats out all the way. You just want to get them down to a nice, safe level. And how do you do that? It's very straightforward. Saturated fats are four-legged fats, fats in four-legged animals. So the food translation that is red meat, butter, and whole dairy products. So the way you get your saturated fats to a safe level is there's only three things you have to do. Limit red meat to 2 servings or less a week. Enjoy dairy if you like it and if it agrees with you, but choose low-fat, reduced fat, or skim. And use butter sparingly. And you need not miss butter. You can use healthy fats, like I'll maybe talk about in a second. Okay? Now, let's move on to the good fats. Two categories of good fats. Monounsaturated fats and omega-3 fats. What are the monounsaturated fats? There's only four foods: extra virgin olive oil, canola oil, nuts and seeds, and avocado. So in a perfect healthy eating world, the majority of the fat calories in your day would come from those four foods. And it certainly does for me. I have extra virgin olive oil every day. I have nuts and or seeds every day. I have avocados every day unless it's time for me to go to the grocery store and I've run out of them. I don't necessarily do canola oil every day. I'm not a big baker, and I prefer olive oil. All right, so monounsaturated fats. These fats have demonstrable positive benefits in your body. The biggest thing they do is two things. They improve and guard the health of your heart and arteries, so they decrease cardiovascular risk, and they do it through several different ways. And they keep your insulin working better. So they help maintain insulin sensitivity, which I told you earlier is one of the key things you're striving to have broad spectrum health. Then the second category of make me healthier fats are the omega-3 fats. And those are those, you know, dazzling fats that have just been rocketed to the scientific forefront because they have so many crazy health benefits. And so it's heart health, it's brain health, it's controlling inflammation in your body. It's like, you know, on and on and on. And those fats you get from oily fish, like salmon and tuna and mackerel and black cod and lake trout. You get them from oily fish, omega-3 fortified eggs, and there's small amounts in like a few plant-based foods like flax seeds, dark leafy greens, whole soy foods, walnuts. Those are the main ones. Some in chia seeds. Anyway,
so
that's how you do your fat right.
So yeah. I mean, obviously, too much fat, too much good fat can be harmful, don't you think? I mean.
Yeah. If you take in, well, you know, all foods have calories, even healthy calories, you know, from healthy foods, if it puts you in positive caloric balance and you're taking in more than you're burning, well, yeah, you can gain weight from that. But, you know, again, let me just tell you the bottom line. If people choose the right foods, and this is some, you know, this is sort of a central theme in my mission. If you eat the right foods, one of the things that just naturally happens is you get built-in appetite control. And since we're talking about, you know, a podcast called Beyond Diet, let's make sure people know that appetite control has emerged as the holy grail for weight control. That is it. I'm telling you right now. It's the foods we eat that make us fat, and people need to know that. So people that are listening, they have issues with weight, which, you know, again, there's... you're not alone, okay? So I'm not picking on you, but you need to know that you're in that state because you have eaten too many calories. Meaning, physical activity does not predict weight gain. Physical activity is enormously helpful for health. I was going crazy about it earlier, and it is, and it's invaluable for weight control. But it is the foods that we eat that most closely correlate to the weight we gain over time, not how much we're moving. So when we look at people's physical activity levels, we don't see a very strong correlation between that, whether it's a lot or a little bit, and the weight they gain over time. What we see a strong correlation with is the foods people are eating. And on that note, you should let me tell your listeners about a big study that just came out. And this, I featured this study in my newsletter, which is free newsletter. And so let me just tell you about this because it's very relevant to what we're talking about. So in a powerful new landmark report that sought to drill down to what specific dietary and lifestyle factors most closely correlated to weight gain over time, Harvard, the smart guys at Harvard researchers uncovered some very striking and consistent findings. This behemoth of a study involved over 115,000 adults, followed for up to 20 years. Of all the factors they followed, including diet, exercise, sleep, and television viewing, food choices were the most influential. The specific foods associated with the greatest weight gain over time were, in descending order, potato chips, other forms of white potatoes, sugary beverages, unprocessed meats, and processed meats. Boy, is that in line with what Dr. Rand tells people to do. Huh. Thankfully, the researchers also found that increasing the consumption of certain foods protected against weight gain. These eat more, weigh less foods were, in descending order, yogurt, nuts, fruits, whole grains, and vegetables. That's reading like right out of the playbook of my book.
Wow.
All right.
That's
so
amazing.
In summary, the most effective strategies for avoiding long-term weight gain included doing your carbs right, meaning avoiding the great white hazards and eating more fruits, veggies, and whole grains. Next, eating nuts and yogurt, I say plain, regularly. And third, restricting meats, including the processed varieties.
Huh.
So that was an important study.
Wow. I mean, that's science right there. You really can't argue with that.
Yeah, and that's the world I live in. So all of my information, all the things I preach, all the things I teach, all the things I talk about and blog about are based on studies. That's where I get my information.
Speaking of getting your information, we're going to have to wrap it up, unfortunately. And I will love, Dr. Ann, to have you back. So you're definitely more than welcome. I'm sure there's more things that
anytime
that we can talk about here. Why don't you give everyone information on your website? And
sure.
you've got a few resources. Why don't we talk about that? Some free resources.
I have lots of resources. First of all, so I welcome you to come visit me in my busiest office, which is now my website. And I have a 24/7 open door policy. You could come to my website. Never spend a penny. Feel free if you want to. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you could come there and never spend a penny and literally spend days. There's that much content loaded on my website, from archives of my radio shows to 140-plus video tips to all sorts of articles to the Cliff Notes versions of all of my books as free download. I mean, there's so much free content on there. It would literally take you days to go through it. But I do also have resources that I sell that are very, very valuable. And I mean, I know I've been doing this a long time, and there are people just have read my books and totally transformed their health. And so I have three books, Dr. Rand's 10-Step Diet. I have my book, Eat Right for Life. And just this week, we have come out with the Eat Right for Life Cookbook Companion, which is where, you know, I'm as much a cook as I am an expert in nutrition. That's something people don't know about me. But now they will when they read that book. And so it's extremely personal. It's where I'm like there with you in the kitchen and tell you exactly what to do. Then I have CDs, DVDs. I do webinars. I do webinars all the time. It's probably the most cost-effective way to tap into my expertise is, you know, sign up to attend one of my webinars. What else do I have? That probably round. Oh, grocery list. All the grocery lists, a whole library of different ones. They're all themed. You know, so if you're a breast cancer survivor, I've got a grocery list for that. Heart health, prostate health, colon health, weight loss. I mean, you name it. I have the themed, very specific, comprehensive grocery list for that. And the best way to get to my website is just to Google Dr. Ann, D-R-A-N-N. I'll be the first thing that pops up and even the second thing that pops up. But my web domain is www.drannwellness.com, drannwellness.com. But just Google Dr. Ann. You'll get me that way.
Oh, absolutely. Highly recommend it, guys. And also, just so you know, you've got your free newsletter that you definitely have to subscribe. I mean, it's chock full of information.
Yeah, it's my most popular free resource. I will say that. I put a lot of time and effort into it. And if you always say it's a great way, especially for people that have read my books or heard me speak live or, you know, partaking in a webinar, it's a reminder of me. And I'm as much a motivator because I am a teacher and just a doctor that really cares about your health. And so it's kind of a reminder of me, and I'm very personal in the way I write. And you know, we just get, people love that newsletter. It's so simple, but people love things really simple.
Oh yeah.
And all the little reports are just one little paragraph, and I just give you the meat of the stuff.
So. Absolutely. It's excellent, guys. So definitely check it out. And thank you so much, Dr. Ann.
And, you're welcome. Thank you, Dan.
And like
I'll be back. I'm happy to come back.
Well, I really do look forward to it. So thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Take care.
So there you have it. That's another episode wrapped up. And don't forget, if you have any questions, feel free to go to the website, beyonddietpodcast.com. There you'll have several ways to get a hold of us. If you want to, if you have a question, you can fill out a form. There's an ask a question form, or you can also check out the store at beyonddietpodcast.com. So anyways, thanks so much, everyone, for listening, and join us next time. Thank you so much. Bye.